I mean, I'm struggling with all this. I mean, I came from a place where I made a lot of money, and then I got sort of took care of that, and then I'm in a business we can make. So we're trying to really work this out. I mean, but to ignore it and to ignore it in our community, our neighbors are going to say, well, they're just like us. What can you imagine? I just did a newsletter series, Jordan and Christy. God gave me this idea, and I wrote 5 issues of this Christian guy who got religion, who got Jesus, and dismantled his safe middle class existence. And I got letters from all over the world. They're just, you know, a story, you know, unsaved child saved. God just gave me the words. It just flowed, and it was a dramatic story about somebody who took the words of Jesus seriously. And in the end, in my story, his wife divorces him. That's what God said to write. And she was a Christian. The whole church turned against the guy, and Jordan went and he started a simple church. He sold his $500,000 home. He took the equity, which is $400,000. He bought a couple duplexes, put up some single moms, and did some stuff. And radically disobedient son got saved by watching his example of radical obedience. Because his son had been turned off in the youth group because of all the hypocrisy he saw, mainly from the adults. It's a powerful weapon. Money is a tool. It's the love of money. Money is a tool. It's not inherently evil, but it's what we do with it. We can also be in the Making Millions for Christ Club. I'll work a lot and make all this money. And no, it's not our example. Paul, Jesus, those guys, they were just, you know, silver and gold I have a lot of. No, silver and gold I have none but the name of Jesus Christ. Get up and walk.
As far as the parable of the talents,
yeah. How would you explain this? Let's talk about that later on. Okay, yeah. That's an illustration for our life. Money is a part of our life. Many of the people who have written about that, I can give you books in my library, it's heresy. It's absolute heresy. They talk about investing because it needs everything else everybody else said. Paul said to the Corinthians, you're rich, I am poor. You're kings, we are the dregs of all life. And he goes through and he says, imitate me as I follow Christ. He didn't say to go out and say, yeah, it's okay to do that. They've got the scripture upside down, young man. They've got it upside down. I mean, I used to be in that camp firmly. I used to believe it all. I used to do it all. But when you start reading it, the Spirit of God will arrest our hearts and say, this is not right. How can I do this when I look over here and I see these people in desperate need? And we got single moms, I mean, what we deal with. And we have no hope of buying a house. You know, their rents are $800 to $1,000. They got to put their kids in daycare. What are we doing? Why can't they stay home and homeschool their kids? Or why are we putting them out in the workplace in the midst of these jungles or getting hit on by their employer? It's all backwards. I mean, if we did that, but if we did that, if we really get serious and sold this stuff and gave it away, our neighbors would go, what are you doing? They would. They would. And they would feel, Acts 2, a sense of awe. Because we can't do that naturally. It's against everything the flesh is to consume and protect. And it's scary to get out of the boat into the water. Peter was scared. But God promises us that he'll provide. I mean, we went through a spot last time, John knows, and somebody, I mean, I thought that was it. I thought it was all over. God took us, I was losing weight, and, you know, I was losing my hair, what's left of it. And my wife, God bless her, said, stay with it, keep with it, whatever. And I thought, she helped, you know, carry me through. I thought, it's all over. This is it. We're going, that's it, we're crashing. The business disappeared and everything. And God just was testing us, getting us ready. So now I'm not worried the next time it comes. I pray, Lord, make me like you. And then what do? I complain when he brings me opportunities to test me, to make me like him. And I said, Lord, change my heart. I want to be a good soldier. I don't want to shame you in the spirit world by complaining about who you are or what you're doing. So what else? With electricity, we can stay up late. We don't get enough sleep. We can be self-sufficient. Amusement is the big thing versus musing. If you read the Psalms, it says to muse on God. Musicians are those who help us muse on the things of God. That's where it all comes from. But if we amuse, it's like atheists, we don't muse on the right thing. So everybody muses and everybody amuses on something. What we should do is muse on God and don't worry about all the entertainment stuff. We're huge consumers of entertainment. You know, with the money, we're very mobile. That's why our house churches sometimes don't work, because we can drive anywhere we want. Well, if we all live and had a walk, you know, we'd be living a lot closer together. So those are some of the challenges that happen. We have little outreach. There's little evangelism. There's very little prayer. I mean, if you were really desperate, We've all been up early this morning. I mean, I'm not trying to be legalist or something like that, but, you know, in St. Louis, I said, we're going to open the prayer room at 6 o'clock, and they all snicker. I hear the snickers, and I said, well, if we were in China, they would have already been there an hour before we got there. I have a video that John Miles gave me. They were in a cave in this grotto. Somebody videotaped it, Americans, very poor quality, and they're all praying like, you know, you see the Chinese do, and the floor is wet with their tears. They're crying and begging and beseeching God because they're desperate people, and God answers. It's the largest move of God probably in the history of the world over there. So hopefully we can do some of those things and really make a difference. There's other outfalls, little hospitality. People really don't cook. We've got too much money. As people say, well, what are you going to cook, which means what are we going to heat up? Or are we going to go out for dinner? I mean, we can fall in that sink because we got too much money. So, okay, so what do? We really need to get with it. The last thing on this, and then we'll move into conclusions and solutions, and we'll be done, is I went one time to a bachelor's party. A good friend of mine was getting married. He was a little older, and he had all these young fellows there. And they were doing really silly things. You know, I mean, they were like adolescents. These kids were in their 20s. You know, they had known each other, and they were pelting each other with Frisbees and just doing really, and of course, I'm older now. But they were doing just really silly things. And then they said, let's pray. And they're going to pray for the brother who's getting married the next day. So they all, and then they all get real serious. They all bellied up, and they're like, oh, God, Heavenly Father, thank you, you're here. We're so glad. Would you bless this brother? And they went on for a short prayer, and then they stopped, and they all went back to playing stupid stuff. And I thought, it's like, when they prayed, Jesus showed up. Why were they serious when he showed up? I mean, why didn't they just say, hey, God, it's great to see you, man. I got to throw you a Frisbee. Because they separate. We separate. It's like Sunday going to meeting versus the rest of it. Everything is to the glory of God. I said to Tony this morning, I said, you know, we were talking about it, and I said, you know, we talk about worship. Well, that's musical worship. When you get up and brush your teeth in the morning, if you do it properly and take care of the temple, that is worship to God. I mean, it sounds strange. If you take care of the body, not to worship, if you do those things, everything is worship to God. Paul in Romans 12, he changes the whole scope of things. He changes from the sacrificial system, and now he says that you give your bodies a holy and living sacrifice, which is what? Your reasonable, acceptable service to God. It's reasonable. It's customary. It's normal. It's expected. It's commanded. So be encouraged. Everything you do is worship. How you eat, what you do, it's encouraging. Everything is a test, a litmus test, where the unbelievers watch us. The spirit world watches us. So great a cloud of witnesses, and we can make a difference to preach that manifold wisdom of God to the spirit world by living in that type of a way. What are the conclusions? Number 6, and we'll go right to number 7, then we'll finish up. I believe we're at a crossroads with this Christian community stuff. I really do. I think it's going to take a huge move of the Lord to undo the identity crisis that we have. But we can start right here. We can start today, and we can all make a little input on it. In American Jesus, the author says, you know, when we look at Jesus now, he's more of a pawn than a king. And if you'll join me, I want to die rectifying that. I'll do everything I can. I'm tired of Satan and all the stuff. I'm just tired of it. And I want to give everything I have by God's grace. We shouldn't put up with it. So what are the solutions? Okay. I think the first one is, if you're persuaded of some of these things, we need to see the reality, not the unreality. The emperor doesn't have any clothes on. You know, we need to see it. If you're persuaded of some of these things over time, then see that. Acknowledge that there's a problem. And purpose in your heart as Daniel did. You know, can you imagine as a teenager being wrested away and gone, I don't know, it was 800 miles by foot and strange fires and foods and being rousted out, never to return to your family again? But he purposed in his mind to not defile himself with the world. Great story. Great story. And by the time he was in the lion's den, he had been serving for 50 or 60 years, and he was literally older than the king. So the king probably looked up to him and heard all the stories about Daniel's life. So Daniel was sort of a father figure to the king. That's why when the king, Daniel, who you serve, you know, night and day, are you okay down there? He couldn't sleep that night. And we can be those kind of people in our Jerusalem. We really can. We might need to repent. We might need to repent of something. Ask for forgiveness. embrace the full identification of God. Read who he is in all his splendor. It says in Hebrews, for if we keep on sinning willfully, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sin.